11 young men tiptoe their way around the stage in patent shoes, sharp suits and white gloves. They're performing a slow dance that accompanies a form of a cappella singing known as iskatamiya. It's particular to the Zulu culture, and as choir director Shlunka Malangu told RFI, it was born in the townships of Johannesburg during the last century.
It was 1913, during the time of labour migration, when people were taken from their homelands into the city of Johannesburg to start working in the mines after the discovery of gold. That's when the music started, and in fact it was mostly influenced by that.
The chorus line swings literally between morosity and joy. The lyrics of their songs are mostly in Zulu but can include elements of English. Some songs evoke going into battle. Can you feel the baton that burns your skin? Or why did you leave to fight without being trained properly? But many of the songs deal with a sense of loss.
The songs, obviously, when you are taken from your homeland into a foreign place like the city of Johannesburg, when it was not a city, was still being built. It was just an open field with the only special thing about it was that there's gold and there's minerals under it. And people were working as slaves there. Obviously, it's about how I miss my family, how I miss my wife, how I miss my children. And also, it was after people were dispossessed, and how they miss their cows, how they miss their lands, how they miss everything that they have lost. And they are now in the mines with the hope of finding a better life itself, how hard the work is and how much they miss their family.
Iskatamiya was not the only art form to come out of South Africa's gold mines in the earlier 20th century, as dispossessed black workers struggled to express themselves. Gumboot or pantsula, where miners came up with elaborate dance steps wearing cumbersome gumboots, was born in similar circumstances. But unlike the noisy gumboot, performers of Iskatamiya put the emphasis on silence and discretion, says Shlunka Malangu.
The word is iskatamiya. It's taken from the Zulu word, which means katama, which means to step light. All right. When you are in a compound of the mine, one of the rules of the compounds was that you're not supposed to gather and sing. And secondly, the dress code changed. Now, black people were not allowed to buy and own land or property in the land of their own in South Africa. So they would buy these expensive suits and expensive shoes from the very same white people who were oppressing them and dress in them and start showing off to each other to say, look, my suit is better than yours. But at the same time, they were not allowed to make noise and sing their songs from their homelands. So what they did, they hide themselves. They try to sing softly and step lightly so that they're not seen. So the aesthetic of iskatamiya comes from the fact that I'm trying not to sing and I'm trying not to dance. I'm trying not to be loud and I'm trying not to be big in terms of my sound and my movement. And that actually forms itself into a new language of singing and dancing. It was indeed a colonial response, but as it got practiced and practiced, it became part of our heritage, which we are performing today.
Iskatamiya began as a response to colonialism, but it's not the music of freedom fighters. And importantly, it reflected a desire to go up in the world.
The music of iskatamiya, it's not actually about the struggle of apartheid, because the people who were singing iskatamiya at that time are the people who came from the rural areas, who are not necessarily the freedom fighters, but who came to work for white people with the hope of finding a better life. As you can see, in the dress code, they are swankers and they're wearing suits like the English man. And basically, when you are dispossessed, the only thing that you aspire to be is your master. So it's really all these English suits about really trying to look like the master.
South Africa, South Africa, we love you.
In the 70s and 80s, Isratam Mir became very popular on the South African music scene. Paul Simon gave the art form worldwide recognition when he invited the Ladysmith Black Mambazo Choir to record on the legendary 1986 album Graceland. The group remains the world's most famous performers of Isratam Mir. Here they are singing Homeless.
Sing. Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake.
Even now, I haven't seen any white people who perform Isratam Mir except for Johnny Clegg. And it's not Isratam Mir that Johnny Clegg that he sings, it's Ingoma, the music before Isratam Mir. And I know also white musicians who were influenced by the sound of Isratam Mir to start collaborating with Isratam Mir. And the only group that we know that performed Isratam Mir is the Ladysmith Black Mambazo, but there's hundreds and hundreds of other groups who are performing Isratam Mir. It is one of the subcultures of South Africa, and that is actually being held by the predominantly Zulu people. But anyone who is in South Africa who's in love with Isratam Mir can sing Isratam Mir. We have Isratam Mir groups in Mpumalanga, and in Mpumalanga there are no Zulus, there are Ndebele people, but they're inspired by the sound and they do it. So it became popular. It is a very important cultural identity. It's a very important South African brand and South African genre of music.
The show at Quai Branly is attracting wide audiences. It's visually stunning, and the men have a mastery of four-part harmony. You don't have to be sensitive to South Africa's segregationist past, but as Slunkla Malangu says, it's hard to put that aside.
The performers had no intention of making a political statement. But in South Africa, whatever you say, whatever you do, even if you're sleeping, you are affected by politics. Everything is political, in my opinion. Maybe it is my revolutionary consciousness that make me say that. Yes, it is the music of the migrant labor. Why migrant labor? It was because of colonialization. The music itself exists because there was a problem. So for me, it is a political statement. And for others, it is a beautiful, happy native singing and dancing.
Music may not change the world, but as Malangu says, it certainly played a role in South Africa's struggle against apartheid.
I'm not that naive to believe that if we all just sing and dance, everything will be beautiful. I think there's a lot of fundamental issues that need something else, but the struggle of South Africa in the apartheid is the only struggle in the world that was fought and won in four-part harmony.
That was Slunkla Malangu of Fufuma Love Miners ending this edition of World Music Matters. And my thanks to RFI's José Marino for the interview. From me, Alison Heard, bye for now.